Please feel free to take your seats. Heaven come down, heaven come down, heaven come down. I want us to do something right now that, well, I'll just lay it out. This is where I hear it. This is the way I hear it. The Lord says, ask me, what do you want? Ask me. I hear the Lord saying that. Ask me, whatever you want. Ask me now. And I want you to just, right now, with your own words, just say, Lord, I need such and such. Lord, I need this. You know, don't give him a list. Just go right to the top, the most important thing, and just ask him right now. If it needs something to be done, something to be fixed, something to be corrected, something to be added, something to be taken away, just go right to the top of the list. Say, Lord, please, would you handle this right now? In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. The Word of God says there's times when we have not because we ask not. And then he tells us in the last chapter of 1 John, he says, when you ask according to my will, I'll hear you, I'll answer you. And according to God's will, and when you ask according to God's will, he hears you, he answers you. Just begin to give thanks for that by faith. Just begin to say, Lord, I thank you. Lord, I have asked for this thing. You've put it in my heart. I believe it's your will. And Lord, I thank you for it. I thank you. I receive it by faith in Jesus' name. I expect it to materialize in Jesus' name. I see it happening in Jesus' name. I have asked in faith, I have asked believing, and I receive in Jesus' name. Can anybody say amen to that? Yeah. Amen. Thank you, praise and worship team. You guys are amazing. Hallelujah. Thank you so much. Oh, thank God for good music, for people to know how to make it happen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Nina, do you have my scriptures back there? Let's go to John 15:4, and we're going to do this in the Contemporary English Version. John 15:4. This is the same scripture where a lot of your Bibles will read that Jesus says, abide in me. Abide in me. Amen. He says, if you in the other versions, if you abide in me, and I abide in you. Amen. Talking about a branch, fruit. But I want us to read it in this particular version because this is the way I heard it from the Holy Spirit. Jesus is speaking here. This is red letter, by the way. In other words, this is what Jesus said. And he said, stay joined to me. Somehow that word joined resonated in my understanding. I've read this scripture in the other version, abide in me. I've read it, you know, so many times. I've heard it taught, I've heard it preached. I've just all my life, abide in me. If your words abide in me, you know, abide in me. I love that. But the Holy Spirit was speaking to me through these words when I found this scripture, and he says, stay joined to me. Father, show us what joined means. Father, show us what joined means. Marriage, a good marriage is adjoining. Barbara and I are joined together. I mean, we could be Siamese twins, you know, connected at the hip. We're joined together. You don't really join your job. You could stay with the job. In that sense, you could use the word abide. You could abide in your job. You could stay with it. You don't join your job. But you join in marriage. It's a closer connection. It's a tighter, more sure, longer-lasting connection, being joined. And I didn't take time to look all those definitions up, you know, in the dictionaries, definitions and all that. It would probably be a really cool study. But here Jesus is saying, stay joined to me. And I'll stay joined to you. We're singing about promises. He just promised us something here. He said, if you stay joined to me, I'll stay joined to you. How would you like to know that Jesus is staying joined to you? Well, then just stay joined to him and you'll have it. Amen. And he relates this. He says, it's like a branch that cannot produce fruit unless it stays joined to the vine. And you cannot produce fruit. You cannot produce fruit unless you stay joined to me. Are you with me? This time of year, and for the next 30 days, I prune. I have fruit trees. I have about 40 fruit trees, and I have about 30 grape vines. And I prune them. I have to clean the dead branches off. Branches that are growing crooked or growing downward, they have to come off. Now, what I leave are branches that hopefully will produce fruit because they're in the right perspective, they're in the right position, they're in the right joining to the vine, the right connection. And if I took one of those good branches and cut it off, what would happen to it? It would die like the ones that are already cut off, the dead ones or the crooked ones. If I cut a good one off, it would die like the bad ones. So it has to stay joined in order to produce fruit. Well, we also must stay joined to the Lord to produce fruit in our lives. And I just really enjoyed this particular verse in this particular version because of how the Lord was speaking to me about how to stay joined. And the Lord began to minister to my heart. And he said, you're having a hard time staying joined to me to produce the fruit that we all want to do. He said, you're having a hard time staying joined to me because you're too busy. Now, I consider the vast majority of my busyness as good things that need to be done. Whether it's a natural task or a job in the physical, natural world, or if it's church work or missionary work, preparation of a sermon, delivery of a sermon. I mean, but, you know, what I do, I consider it as necessary. But I can get so busy that I'm not producing fruit for the Lord in the spiritual realm because the natural realm takes up my time, my energy, my imagination, my thoughts, my physical energy, my emotional energy. you know, is easily used up in the busyness of life. Now, with God's help, I will never let that busyness get to the point that it steals my salvation. It's like, I don't want to go there. I want to guard my walk with the Lord. I want to guard my relationship to Him. But I also want my joining to Him to be so close and so intimate that I will produce the fruit that He wants to produce through me. So I go to the Word of God. That's a good place to start. You're on a study. Amen. And I begin to look at Bible characters, and I'm going to name a number of Bible characters in the chapter and the book and where they can be found. You can, if you're taking notes, you can look these up later at home. We're not going to take time to read them all on the screen. But I want us to look at some of the Bible characters that got too busy for God. How many would agree with me that a lot of the Bible characters and those that we consider Bible heroes or heroes of faith made some big mistakes? And the reason they made those mistakes is because they got too busy for God. No one ever really messed up staying joined to Jesus. Okay, let me just get going on this a little more. If we're not in touch with the Lord every day through His Word and prayer, we fall into the proverbial phrase, out of sight, out of mind. Out of sight, out of mind. Most of you have always heard that phrase. And if we lose touch with the Lord, if we start saying, well, you know, I read the Word yesterday, I'll wait a day or two and read some more in a couple of days when I have time. Well, you know, I prayed about a couple of things yesterday that I know the Lord wanted me to pray about, but you know, next couple of days I'm going to be so busy I probably won't have time to pray. You know, when we get like that, it's out of sight, out of mind, and all of a sudden we're not seeing the Lord in our prayer, in our meditation, in our reading, where we're not seeing Him, and all of a sudden we start forgetting Him and forgetting that He wants to visit, that He wants to talk, that He wants to lead, that He wants to guard, that He wants to guide. He wants to be a part of my life all day, every day. You know, looking at Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 3, I was looking at Adam and Eve, and they got too busy being nosy about something they were told to leave alone. God pointed out a tree and He said, leave it alone. And when God wasn't looking, so to speak, they got busy saying, you know, we need to check that out. We need to find out why He doesn't want us to touch it. We need to find out why He didn't want us to eat of the fruit of that tree. Let's go check it out. They got too busy doing their own thing and following their own desires. We'll find in the scriptures, we move along in this message, that following our own desires can lead to severe, serious destruction. It did in Adam and Eve's life. They got completely out of place. Their place was fellowship with God. And they walked away from Him and walked away from His fellowship. And He had to go looking for them. Now, He knew where they were. But as the scripture quotes it, God in saying, Adam, where art thou? Adam, where are you at, boy? Well, he was busy following his own desire. He was out of place and out of sync and out of time with his schedule that he should have had with God. Adam and Eve, they were in it together. They both got too busy doing their own thing, for God. We know the end of that story. Bad news, right? In Genesis chapter 9, that translates as 9. Genesis chapter 9. We have Noah. He builds an ark. He spends generations building an ark, and he saves his family. I mean, it's supernatural intervention by the power of God. He obeys God, and the whole world gets wiped out with this mega flood, and he and his family are saved by his obedience. I mean, this is victory. Yeah. God did something big in my life. Yeah. That was big. Well, it said that he planted a vineyard. There's nothing wrong planting a vineyard. I have a vineyard out the house. But what's wrong with this story with Noah is that it says that he got drunk. You know, he was king of the world. Think about it. You know, we don't think of him as a king and a crown and all that, but he was the king of the world. Everybody else is gone except for his family. He's king of the world till he got drunk. He got too busy with his wine tasting contest. You know, there's a lot of accounts in the Bible where wine is good for a person, where it's drank properly, but getting drunk is always wrong. Always has been, always will be. And Noah got too busy at his wine tasting events, and he got drunk, and it got bad. And through the end result of that, one of his three sons found an eternal curse put upon him and his generations to follow. Terrible thing that happened. In Genesis chapter 16, we move along, we find Abraham. Everybody knows Abraham. Now, he had a good relationship with God. We still benefit from Abraham's relationship with God. By being his children, God's promises to Abraham are carried down to us as we receive them by faith. Amen. But Abraham got in trouble and caused a big problem that's still going on today, because he got too busy with his wife's maid. Yeah, he should have just stuck it out with Sarah until the promise came. But he got in a hurry. He said, God's promised me a son, and things aren't happening, so I'm going to get busy with my wife's maid and can't see if we can get a son going here. We need a son. You know, God promised it. Well, he got too busy for God with his wife's maid. And the son that came forth was Ishmael, who was the father of a whole tribe of people that are still causing us trouble today. Think of that. All because he was too busy for God. He was not joined to the Lord as he should have been. Now, we know, you know, we talk about Abraham's blessing, his walk with God, his covenant with God. Those are times when he was properly joined, abiding with the Lord, joined with the Lord, connected, receiving, two-way prayer, good stuff. But there was that one mistake, one time in his life when he got too busy, wanting to follow his own desire, and too busy for God, and it cost, and it's still costing today. In Judges chapter 8, we find a guy named Gideon. Now, Gideon was responsible for great and mighty victorious events for the children of Israel. I mean, they were under the thumb. They were in dire straits. They were in a bad way with the Midianite armies killing their people and raiding their villages and burning their crops and stealing their food. It was bad. And Gideon, under the influence of the Lord, was able to secure Israel's freedom once again and defeat that mighty Midianite army. And it was just, we know the story. I mean, Gideon and 300 warriors obeying God wiped out tens of thousands. That only God can do that. But a little later, Gideon began to wear a priestly garment that had a thing called an ephod, which is part of the jewels and the way the vesture of the garment was designed and all. And he started allowing people to worship that. And the people, being misled by deceptive spirits, began to worship not God, but this thing that Gideon had been wearing. That's pretty dumb. I mean, that's bad. And so the people of Israel and Gideon got too busy with their pride and their pride of position and, you know, puffing up Gideon and all that he did. And it cost Israel dearly. Too busy for God, following their own desire. Samson, you know, one of my favorite stories. Samson was busy with God, defeating the Philistines, the main enemy of Israel. I mean, every time you turn around, Samson had a one-handed victory against 10,000 Philistines. I mean, the guy was amazing. He was the superhero of the day in a big way. I mean, he put Superman to shame. But he got too busy checking out the Philistine girls. Do you know the story? He got too busy checking out the Philistine girls, and his own desires and his lustful desires following that route cost him his eyes first and his freedom and then his life. He was too busy for God. You know, all these people we're talking about were people that had a pretty good track record until. They were joined, connected. They were doing good things with God. And God was doing good things with them until the day that they got too busy following their own desire. We got to keep God's desire in the forefront of our heart. We all know King David, wonderful guy, a man of his, you know, David is called in the Bible a man after God's own heart. But we know that it took a lot of repentance to get there, because he made some big boo-boos. You know what a boo-boo is? He was busy fighting God's army and with God's army, fighting the enemies of Israel. He was busy killing giants. He was busy being king of the nation. He was busy doing the will of God. And then one night he decided that he's going to get busy following his own desire. And he got his eyes over on a bathing beauty that lived on the housetop next door. And sin came into the camp, and it cost the lives of innocent people. Serving God, doing the will of God, and then got too busy for God, following his own desires. Don't you know he wishes he could back up and relive all that and cancel those bad decisions? Jonah, terrific story, the book of Jonah. He got too busy running from God's call. Is God putting a call on your life? Is he wanting to use you? Well, be careful about getting too busy running from the call of God. You could end up in the whale's belly. Huh? So here we have, you know, a short list of some of our heroes of faith, Bible characters. Their real stories are in these scriptures. But it shows us the times that they got too busy following their own desire, and it shows us what it cost. Why would we need to know these things? Because God is hoping that we will learn from their mistakes. And he's telling us, don't get so busy following your own desires that you start missing the mark. Don't get so busy following your own desires that you start dabbling in sin. Now, I know this is not for you guys. You know, that's for the ones, you know, you can go like this. That's for this message for those guys back there behind us in the other church, you know. I don't want to get so busy that my busyness, aside from doing the work of God, I don't want my busyness to start directing my imagination and my vision and my hope and my day plan into things that will get us in trouble. I desire to be cautious, and I call upon the Lord. Lord, guard me and guide me. Anybody want to amen that? In the New Testament, let's look at Acts 26, 28, because this is just a fun scripture to read. I think we're back in New King James, Peter, on all the rest of them. And then Agrippa, you know, you like get a grip, you know, that's him, the original get a grip. And Agrippa said to Paul, "You almost persuade me to become a Christian." Agrippa is a king, a very popular king, a famous king. He's, you know, he's on the throne, got the crown. He's got the harem. He's got, you know, everything's going his way. And Paul the Apostle ministers to him and shows him the way of salvation. And the guy says, "Well, you know, I like that. I like what you're saying. And you almost persuade me to be a Christian, but I'm so busy. I'm so busy being king. Man, I've got all these girls. I mean, you know, all these heathen kings come to me and want me to marry their daughter so we can have a covenant between nations. I've got that to take care of. And the treasury, man, we got diamonds and jewels and gold running out of ears. I got to find something to do with all this money. I'm so busy. I got a meeting in the morning with the banker." He's so busy being king. So busy wallowing in his fame, being something special, so busy shining the crown. He said, "You've almost persuaded me to be a Christian." When I was a little boy, in the church where we used to go, we used to sing a song out of the hymnal, "Almost Persuaded." It was one of those, what we called an altar call song that drew on your heart and made you want to get saved again. Almost persuaded. Those words, Mitch, almost persuaded. Almost saved, man, and then he missed it because he was so cotton picking busy. Following his own desire. Is anybody hearing anything? Look at James 1, 14 and 15. Each person is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. He's talking about here the temptation, and you let temptation get your mind so busy that it goes over into desire that you want to follow. And then the desire that you follow goes into sin. This person would be so busy following their own desire that it would end up sinning and end up ultimately in death. That's serious business. Look at 1 Corinthians 10, 12, and 13. "Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. He's saying here, everybody's going to get tempted. Everybody's going to be tempted to follow your own desires. Everybody's going to be tempted to be busy doing your own thing rather than doing God's thing. But he says, watch this. With the temptation, with it, there is a way of escape. And you go, I need to know what is that way of escape, because I get tempted every day. I need to know what is the way of escape. Well, it sounds like this. No! The way of escape has a word. It has a sound. No! Come on. Have you ever been tempted? Don't raise your hand. Raise both of them. And the way to respond is with N-O and mean it. Come on. We're hearing this, right? 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 18. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. And as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. And I'll be a father to you, and you shall be sons, my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. I would sum all these four scriptures up with God saying, don't get too busy following your own desires, because I want you to be my child. I want to take care of you. I want to guard you. I want to guide you. I want you to be living in me, joined to me, so that you won't mess up. Being joined to Him keeps us from messing up. Again, how do I get joined to God? Stay in His Word. Stay in prayer. Watch your attitude. Pay attention. Say no to temptation. Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves down at the bar. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves. Well, we don't need to say about all those other places, do we? He's talking about church here. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. He says, what he's saying here is stay busy with good people. He's saying stay busy with church activities. He's saying stay busy doing positive things in my kingdom. Stay busy in ministry. Stay busy in good works. Stay busy doing my will. Stay busy in prayer. Stay busy assembling with people who will help you walk in faith and hope and love. Thank you guys for being in my life. It helps me stay busy doing the right thing. Amen. In Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do. Now, what is whatever? Whatever. Whatever. Whatever you do, Mitch, do it heartily. As to yourself and your own desires. Did I read that wrong? Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. In other words, stay busy. If you're doing something heartily, you're going to be busy. Heartily means, yeah, ganas. Desires, the right direction, right kind of desire. Hey, man, let's do this. So you want to pray? Let's go for it. You want to pray about this situation? That guy work's been bugging you? Let's fix it. In Jesus' name, that guy just has to lay it down and get out of your way. Hallelujah. We just bind up those evil spirits just making him act that way. And so, Lord, bring somebody across his path and help him get saved. I mean, you know, stay busy. Do it heartily. Find something that works in the ministry for the Lord and for the good of the church and for good of men. And we'll do that as unto the Lord. Staying busy for the Lord and not staying busy for men or our own desire. I want us to do something that I believe is powerful, and yet it is so simple. I want us to close our eyes, and as I pray, you just set your heart in agreement with that that you agree with. And it'll go like this. It'll be, Father, there's times in my life when I get so busy, there's just things I want to do, Lord. There's just things I want to do. And I don't know that they're good or they're bad. I just want to do some of these things. And I get so busy that I don't have time. Don't take the time to pray. Don't take the time to seek your word. Don't take the time to meditate upon you. And Lord, I'm asking for forgiveness. Forgive me, Lord, for being so busy that I don't take time for you. Lord, remind me to take better care of my time. Remind me to stay busy doing things that are constructive and edifying, things that you would have me to do. Remind me, Lord, to stay away from the cares of life and the cares of this world and the pride of life and the pride of this world. Help me stay away from the busyness that comes from those things. Help me, Lord, guard my mind. Lord, I don't want my mind to get busy with evil imaginations. I don't want my mind to get busy with fleshly or lustful imaginations. Lord, I don't want my mind busy with things that would lead me astray or lead to sin and death. Lord, I'm asking, help me. And Lord, as pastor, I ask for you to help me and help this people, this lovely church people that we have here, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be busy with you, joined together with your work, joined together with your effort, joined together with your endeavor to see souls saved. Lord, again, forgive us of our carnal busyness and guide us out of those things. Lord, you said with temptation is a way of escape. So we take the way of escape and we turn our back on the busyness of the world. We turn our back on selfish or lustful desire. We turn our back on those things that would lead us astray. And in Jesus' name, we'll stay busy doing the will of God. With your help, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah. There's one more thing on my heart I need to do. Lorena, did I get your name right? Lord, there's something Lorena's been praying about for a long time. It just keeps coming up. She's been praying about it for a long time. And Lord, I don't know what it is. You haven't told me what it is. But I know it's something dear to her heart that needs to be corrected. And she's been asking you for the miracle. And I just pray in Jesus' name that that miracle will come to pass soon. I set my heart in agreement with her pure heart prayer, saying the miracle of God that I need in my life will come to pass soon, oh, very soon. In Jesus' name. Amen. Expect good things, Lorraine. Expect something really good. Good changes. Good changes. Good adjustments. Amen. Well, I want to thank you for participating in this service, and thank you for being here tonight. It's just such a blessing to have you, and it's good that we can stay busy serving the Lord together. Coming to church together is a good thing. And Sunday morning's coming up. Watch for opportunities to invite people. You know, go by and pick them up or shake them out of bed. Whatever you have to do, get them to church. Help people come to church with a warm invitation. Let them know they're needed and appreciated. And just get out there and have a really good rest of the week. Will you do that? We love you. We appreciate you. You're a blessing. Thank you for giving. And thank you for coming. In Jesus' name.